Today, we launch a series on what some are calling the silencing of science under the Trump administration. A National Parks scientist receiving a cease and desist letter after testifying to Congress about climate change. Sharpiegate, when President Trump falsely claimed that Alabama was in the path of Hurricane Dorian. Emails just obtained by BuzzFeed showed that at that time, officials at the National Weather Service and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration were writing each other saying things like, help, and yep, crazy. The Sabin Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University's Law School has been tracking this erosion of science, of truth, with a special tracker called the Silencing Science Tracker. Michael Girard, director of the Sabin Center, joins us. Welcome.
Thank you, Robin.
And you actually have two trackers there. One focuses just on climate change deregulation, rolling back of a lot of regulation. But the other one, this Silencing Science Tracker, what prompted that?
We saw that as soon as Trump was inaugurated, he started talking even more loudly about disregarding science. We saw that percolate throughout the federal government, and we decided to keep track of it so that they would be held accountable. People would know what they're doing.
Well, and we will hook people up. You can go right now to hearnow.org. And just scanning through, I mean, here's a recent entry on the tracker for December 24th. Online pollution tracking database removed. Just tell us more. Land on that one.
So the National Library of Medicine, which is part of the National Institute of Medicine, for a long time had a website called ToxMap, where you could look at any particular location in the country and see if there were any Superfund sites or polluting factories or other sources of pollution that were there, so that if you were thinking about moving to a particular place, for example, you could see what's around. They have taken that down. They've eliminated the site. The data are still available in obscure places that you have to hunt for, but the general public no longer has easy access to this information about the sources of pollution in the communities where they live or might want to move.
And just picking out a few more, the Trump administration acts as federal advisory committee focused on invasive species. White House strikes climate change language from vehicle emissions proposal. When you see it all together like this in the tracker, it's pretty overwhelming.
They no longer are interested in expertise, or at least the kind of expertise that might lead to conclusions that they dislike. As you said, they've been eliminating a lot of the scientific advisory committees, and those that have survived, they've kicked off many of the academic scientists and put in place industry representatives.
What are you hearing from people in the government agencies?
There's an enormous amount of distress by the career staff. You have a lot of dedicated, very sophisticated scientists and other professionals who've been devoting their careers to keeping us safe from pollution and unsafe products and so forth, and they're being squelched. Some of them are leaving if they have other opportunities. And I'm also seeing at my own university that many young scientists are deciding they don't want to go to work for the federal government. That's not a congenial place to actually carry out good science anymore.
Well, here's another item from June 24th of last year. Studies showing damages from climate change buried by the USDA. Scientists at the USDA claim that the agency has deliberately failed to publicize research publications that address the impact of climate change. So again, people within agencies reporting this. But we mentioned in the introduction that one National Park scientist got a cease and desist letter. Is the government allowed to do that? Tell people they can't speak about this?
Well, they can tell their employees that they shouldn't appear at certain events or write certain kinds of articles. And that's been happening increasingly. And so scientists who work for the government are told not to appear at professional conferences. They can still reply to subpoenas. But in general, the gag orders for federal employees tend to be effective.
Yeah. One of the items people will remember. It reads, on three separate occasions in September, President Trump stated that Alabama was under threat from Hurricane Dorian, even though no government weather forecast predicted any impact would be felt in the state. And we remember the Sharpie that drew on a whiteboard map, including roping Alabama into a forecast when it didn't belong there. Why do you think this is not making a bigger impact?
because there's so much else happening out there. There's so much noise out there in the world. But in this particular instance, the emergency responders in Alabama who listened to this unnecessarily took precautions and scrambled and so forth, whereas the places where the hurricane was actually going may have relaxed their diligence. It's also very dispiriting to the professionals in the Weather Bureau, which has traditionally been a completely non-political agency, but here people are trying to mess with their results.
Well, and as you know, President Trump has always said that government regulations have stifled business, and that's his, you know, he's in the business of business and jobs in the economy, and that the government is bloated, and many in his base believe that. Could this just be trimming regulatory fat?
But of course, that is true for the coal industry, for example, but there are lots of other businesses that are badly hurt by climate change. If your business is flooded or transportation is disrupted because of extreme weather events or the other kinds of things that are happening increasingly as a result of climate change, the wildfires and the hurricanes and the extreme rains and so forth, those businesses are really hurt. So it's only a very small slice of the economy that is helped by this deregulation. Much larger portions of it are hurt.
Well, and I was talking, too, about the cost of the agencies that are controlling a lot of these issues. And a lot of President Trump supporters feel that that work should be outsourced, that it should be in the private sector and not paid for by taxpayer dollars. You say what?
Well, if it is paid for by industry dollars and by the industries that don't want the negative impacts to be revealed, then, you know, you get what you pay for. And it's much more economical to society to have independent objective science.
What has jumped out at you? I mentioned the Alabama, you know, Sharpie squiggle. But what are some that have jumped out at you as you've tracked them?
How pervasive it is, how every time that a climate scientist wants to raise his or her head above the foxhole, they're intimidated or they're shot down by it. One particularly egregious example is that a lot of the standards for certain kinds of air pollution are based on longstanding epidemiological studies, and they show that certain kinds of pollution are very bad for health. There is a new proposal that would block the use of those kinds of studies because they call it transparency, but what they really want is the medical records of the individuals who were studied in the epidemiological studies. That, of course, violates patient confidentiality. It's just an elaborate ruse to avoid using these very important and well-accepted peer-reviewed studies.
We should say that in some parts of the government, science is flourishing. NASA is one example that's always given, and the National Institutes of Health has had increases. Does this seem to be largely about the science around climate?
Well, it's the science around climate and also environmental protection in general. It's the science that could have the effect of costing more money or reducing the profits of certain sectors of the economy. NASA science doesn't do that, and so NASA science isn't endangered. But parts of the National Institutes of Health do that, like the ToxMap site that they took down, and so those are vulnerable.
Yeah, well, what do you think I'm asking you a question that I know the answer to. I mean, what's the effect of this at a time when, you know, we're supposed to be ramping up our knowledge of the impact of climate and the environment?
One of the things that has made America great is the brilliance of our science. All of this is really putting America behind. There are other countries that don't have this new disregard for science. It is disabling the U.S. from advancing technologically, and much of that technological advancement is a basis for a lot of our economic prosperity. It's also inhibiting our ability to anticipate and prepare for the negative impacts of climate change that we know are coming.
But what happens in a country where people are told not to believe empirical science? I mean, what happened?
This is beyond Orwell. People had no conception that there would be such disregard of truth and facts and knowledge and information and expertise. They're all being thrown under the bus, and the country will be much poorer for it.
Michael Girard, director of the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University. We've been talking about the silencing science tracker they've developed. We'll hook you up at hereandnow.org. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And also this week, we'll take a closer look at the EPA, the Department of Agriculture, Silencing Science, Here and Now.